Blog Talk Radio.
You don't like it? Keep listening. Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling. Came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment. Mike Knox really keeps his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it. You don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best dance show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best dance show on the radio. Set
yo, the best dance show on the radio. Yo, it's the best dance show on the radio. Yo, yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
I was gonna rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynch is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody vicious. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from their cloth.
Some people are talented and some people are gifted. I'm God gifted.
Well, there you have it, people. There you have it. We just got finished witnessing WWE's Payback, and this is your post. So right here, the Soulman Sports brings to you Perfect Plex Talk Radio. I am Mike Knox, and indeed I spelled my name with 3 X's because like Braun Strowman, I am hardcore. As always, welcome down to me joining us today from No Foul Plays On. Hugo, what's going on, brother? Hugo, you there?
My bad, Mike. Sorry. Yes, I am here. And I'm sorry, and I apologize for putting in the wrong theme music, man, but it felt good back to the old school ways, you know?
Well, you know what? Even though you put the wrong theme song in there, at first I said, huh? Then I said, that's okay. That theme song was banging. Shout out to Wise Shabazz, the one we call Wise. But listen, just go ahead right now, right here, right now, and run through the matches that happened tonight. I think every match minus the House of Horrors that was in 2 parts was tremendously put together. What a great show from the WWE, in my opinion. But we got to start off with where the show ended. I don't want to give you the rundown. You already know who won the matches. We got new tag team champions. Not the Hardy Boys won, but I love what Cesaro and Sheamus did at the end. We got a new Raw Women's Champion as Alexa Bliss. Oh, Alexa Bliss. Oh, blissfully beautiful. She is now your new women's champion on Raw. And then again, to end the program, Braun Strowman destroys Roman Reigns. Not to mention Y2J going to SmackDown as your new SmackDown champion. But let's start off where the show ended, Hugo. OMG. As my kid sat next to me on the couch watching this match, Braun Strowman is unbeatable. First, he destroys Roman Reigns. Then the ambulance as he destroys Roman Reigns. Then he breaks the ring. Then he just dumps Kalisto off the stage like he was Duke the Dumpster Drosy. What's your take from Payback? I'm excited. I thought this pay-per-view was pretty damn good. What's going on, Facebook Live?
I definitely loved Payback for the exception of Jigsaw's House of Horror match. That's what I'm going to go ahead and call it because I felt like I was watching
really?
An episode
Jigsaw's
of Saw.
Jigsaw's House of Horror match? Crazy.
I did, man. It felt that way. It felt kind of like a mix between Saw and the Blair Witch Project. But other than that, I thought it was definitely great. You know, especially the end was put together great, making Braun Strowman look strong, going over, which I was kind of like, well, you know what? It is Roman Reigns. I thought he was going to go over, but at the end of the day, I think the right man won. And I'm excited to see what's going to be next for Braun Strowman. Maybe a title opportunity? I hope so, because the dude has improved dramatically since he has left the Wyatt family and gotten on by his own, Mike. I thought it was great.
But it had to happen. Well, Hugo, here's the thing about Braun Strowman and why I like the way they're building him. We have to have someone be believable to beat Brock Lesnar, right? But before we talk about Braun and the greatness that awaits him, right? Because I think there's nothing but greatness that awaits Braun Strowman. To me, the bigger and most important part about this is, what the hell do you do with Roman Reigns? We thought he was being built as a heel after WrestleMania. He had the Jericho-esque promo where he didn't say much. You know, he just walked in the ring. He was booed mercifully at the Raw after Mania. Now we know how much the crowd already hates him. But now this. I didn't think he should win the match. But to be destroyed like this, is it safe to say we don't see Roman Reigns for about 30 to 60 days?
It would appear so, Mike. I think that's the way that WWE needs to go, is to put him away for a while. Obviously, the heat after the whole Undertaker fiasco happened at WrestleMania 33, it's good for Roman to go out, heal his injuries, quote-unquote, and then come back after Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar do have their duke or whatever the case may be, because it can't end that way, Mike. It can't end with just Braun Strowman destroying Roman Reigns, but it cannot happen where tomorrow night Roman Reigns appears on Monday Night Raw and obviously calls out Braun Strowman and gets one on Braun. So go out, heal your injuries. I like your scenario. Go out for 30, 60, maybe even 90 days and come back during the summer where we could finally have the rubber match and the final match of their encounter at SummerSlam.
Well, you know what? Shout out to my man Jeff Murray. Murphy, great photographer, by the way, guys. If you're in Delaware, look him up. He's on my Facebook. He said, awesome show from top to bottom. I agree. I know a lot of people complained. The internet was one of them about the House of Horrors match. But you know my saying, it's everything's not for everybody. And I think when wrestling fans sit there and pick and pick and pick at wrestling, there's some things that are for you and some things that are not. I know that, listen, guys, this is not the Attitude Era. This is not the, even in the Attitude Era, there were times I had to get up and walk away. Okay, people, I said it. If you're afraid to say it, I'm going to say it. There were parts during the Attitude Era I didn't want to watch. There were parts during the golden era of wrestling that I didn't want to watch. If this match wasn't for you, fine. I'm okay with that. However, my kids were very, very entertained and was quite freakishly scary. And listen, I can imagine being in the arena, it not being that good, okay? Because you're in an arena and it's nothing. But to have no commentary, to have that corny-esque kind of music playing over it, I'm not going to say I enjoyed it. Was it bad? No. Was it horrible? No. But I thought for what it was, it was okay. What I did not like was, A, knowing, thanks to Mike Jackson, that's Yada, King Yada on the Xbox, that tagged me on something earlier in the day that said that it was pre-taped, which once you saw it, you knew that it was pre-taped. But besides that, even going into the arena and having Jinder Mahal and them intervene, and now we know why it wasn't a title match, I was okay with it. I'm sorry. This pay-per-view on a belt grade for me is going to get 4 out of 5 championships. I tell you the night what championships I give it. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Before we go ahead and take some calls, Hugo, from top to bottom, do you agree with Jeff that this pay-per-view was really awesome? I do. I think it was a good pay-per-view.
It was definitely enjoyable. I mean, I'm just going to go in and give you a quick highlights of what I liked on the pay-per-view, which obviously I'm going to rate it as high as you as well, 4 out of 5 championship, and I'll give my belt grade at the end with title of my choice. But some of the highlights that I liked, to be honest with you, the beginning between the pre-show match Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows.
I didn't watch a single pre-show match. I was eating my soul food dinner Sunday. I didn't watch any of the pre-show.
The only reason why I actually watched it is because obviously my man Carl Anderson was there, and every time Carl Anderson wrestles, he's just absolutely fantastic. So it was great to actually give me a treat. Yeah, and I got treated to see Carl Anderson in the beginning of the show. Obviously, he's just going to be a star if he breaks off ever from Luke Gallows. He's definitely going to be a star. Then after that, obviously Alexa Bliss. I was really, really, really excited to see Alexa Bliss and win cleanly too. By the way. Cleanly against Bayley in her hometown.
Well,
did you ever
see
that coming? Absolutely.
Let me get a blind tag in there. Let me blind tag you and get one thing as I blind tag you. I'm with Ron Sally on Facebook Live right now. He liked the House of Horrors match, and he says, "I never watched the pre-show, man. It's a pre-show for a reason." To me, I don't like people when people say that, Ron. I'm gonna tell you why. Pre-shows to me, when people say, oh, they're in the pre-Mania show, it's still Mania, even though it's a pre-show. It's a network now. It's not really pay-per-views, so you got to do something to fill that time slot. I'm okay with pre-shows, and some pre-show matches are really, really good, including the Miz and Finn Balor segment on Miz TV, okay? Now, to blind tag you, why I blind tag you, was it really, really clean? Because she did hit her head, which gave the illusion that she was hurt. So in wrestling terminologies, you may say it was clean, but she took advantage of an injured Bayley. The referee tried to stop her, and she didn't. To me, that was great ringmanship by Alexa Bliss. And why I love her so much is that she took advantage of that, then gave her that vicious DDT for the win. I thought it was great, Hugo. Go back to your point.
But you could also make the same exact judgment also with the Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens bout. I mean, if you really look at it, Chris Jericho used the stairs, you know, between the ring apron and the stairs to obviously make believe that Kevin Owens' arm was truly injured so he couldn't grab the rope. So, but I mean, to me, that still goes in the book as a clean win. It's not like he actually used a chair or a cane. Same thing with Alexa Bliss, that they didn't use none of that. So I thought I was very happy to see, obviously, Alexa Bliss win, especially in the hometown, which obviously you said it on our chat earlier. Alexa Bliss is definitely the future of the women's division. The present right now is Charlotte because we can't. I mean, let's be honest. To me, Charlotte is the greatest female right now in the WWE. Alexa Bliss is just one step below her. But that
I think Charlotte's
right
the greatest
there.
Women's wrestler of all time. That's just me.
Of all time. I know, and you have said that in such a short amount of time. That's obviously a huge statement for you to say, though, Mike, because, I mean, if you look at the past also with some of these WWE divas, obviously a lot of people, you can make a case for Trish Stratus. You could also make a case also for AJ Brooks. You could also make a case for Lita.
So far above Trish Stratus in in-ring competition is Charlotte. It's beyond that's what I'm saying. Like everybody, I know what you're saying, but for our listeners out there, because you and I have these conversations, and we gotta let the audience know some of the conversation deeper. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm going to when I say that. I love Trish Stratus. Let's not take nothing away from Trish Stratus. But I just think wrestling fans today, just like with that boxing match last night, that just was a good boxing match, far from the greatest. People forget certain things, and I'm not living in my moment. I love professional wrestling and how it's constructed. Hashtag wrestling is storyline. Trish Stratus sucked for the majority of her wrestling career before fans appreciated her at the end of her career. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
But
she actually became good and actually taking the training seriously. The same thing you could say with Nikki Bella, though, Mike. I know a lot of people, a lot of the internet fans, including myself, are going to hate on Nikki Bella, but at the end of the day, I recognize the hard work that Nikki Bella has put in that ring. She has.
Absolutely.
And you know what? No matter what, even though one thing that actually did bother me, I know really quick, if you do watch Total Divas.
How did you know I watched Total Divas?
I mean, come on.
I saw that this past week for the first time. Out of all the time I watched Total Divas, I never knew she was executive producer. I'm not going to lie. That's that John Cena, what did he say it? Sexually injecting talent into her, I guess they say it in other words, and for her that she got a producer's credit off of Total Divas as well.
But let me finish my point really quick. So like I was saying, so I think Charlotte right now is on top of the world. Then you have Alexa Bliss, and then no one comes close. Either one of those two right now. Not Sasha Banks, even though she's an amazing talent. Not Bayley. not Natalia, none of them. To me, it's Charlotte. That's the way that the women's division should be headlined by those two. I am so happy that they're actually on separate shows, because if you put them both on the same show, it's you're always going to see Charlotte versus Alexa, and they're going to be eclipsing everything that is on that respective brand if they were to be together. Now, they're going to continue on. The House of Horrors match. What I liked about it, I'm going to tell you right now, is Jinder Mahal coming out at the end. I didn't think he was going to be able to, I didn't think he was going to come out. I thought it was fantastic to obviously keep the feud between Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal relevant. I thought the white man went over. Bray Wyatt had to go over because, as we know, Bray Wyatt for the last 3 years has not done absolutely nothing whatsoever with his career.
They've ruined his career. They have ruined Bray Wyatt's career. And that's not often I say that. You know, I'm hashtag WWE guy. Okay, I'm not afraid to admit it. The WWE has dropped the ball with Bray Wyatt. They really did. They really did.
Right. Mike, really quick, let me just finish up. I thought Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe was a nice little fun match. I thought they had a fantastic match between the two. I really wanted Joe to go over, but at the end of the day, you kind of understand why Seth Rollins went over. And then, of course, I really did enjoy, of course, Braun Strowman at the end. So, hence, that's why I gave it a four out of five championship title runs, except for the beginning part of the House of Horrors match, because I feel like I was watching, like I said, an episode of a movie like Saw crossed with the Blair Witch Project. But the end, because of Jinder Mahal, made the match actually, you know what? I'm actually going to go ahead and upgrade my belt grade. I'm going to go 4.5 out of five just because of Jinder Mahal's appearance on the pay-per-view. So I really
Jinder Mahal. But all right, before I go in, I want to get let's put the show into perspective for a second, okay? But so before we do that, I'm just going to go back to something you said in reference to the women's division, right? And I look at Bayley. We know we always say dance partner, who's the best dance partner, right? Bayley and Alexa are amazing together in the ring. And I think they are better dance partners than what Charlotte could have been for Bayley. And I know people are going to say, huh? That match to me was so damn good in that match. And you don't have to – I know people don't like Bayley because of how they – she's the same as she was in NXT. She's just – I don't know. I always say certain people don't equate to the Raw level of wrestling. As far as – when you look at Raw, Raw's put on a pedestal like the Four Horsemen. They got to be – they got to hit. And when they don't hit – they're made fun of very hard. You know what I'm saying? But Bayley's the same Bayley she was in NXT. It's just not working up here
she's
for whatever reason that is. But let's
she's too
go.
Happy, by the way.
Well, that's her gimmick. Her gimmick is to be happy. You know what I mean? And again, kids love her. My daughter loves her. And if I had to pick out of all the women in wrestling right now for my kids to like, I'm going to go with Bayley, and then I'm going to go with Naomi. Okay? I outside of Naomi twerking, you know, take that aside. Other than that, I think they're the best two girl role models in professional wrestling in the WWE right now. But let's start off with the first match of the night, as Kevin Owens did shock the world and lost his U.S. title, the Face of America, new T-shirt. Why even buy it now? Jericho wins. And it poses the question that Jeff just also asked, what's going on with Y2J? Now, I've heard all kind of, you know, sorts of information on what's going on with Y2J. I actually even heard he signed a new contract through SummerSlam, and he's going to work summer. He's going to still work some shows and do the Foggy tour at the same time. I'm not saying don't quote me on that. Don't tweet me on that. That's news information that I'm hearing from various sources. I don't have that source myself. That's just what I'm hearing. But that match to me, what a way to start off the show. I thought it was very good. Shocked the hell out of me that Jericho won, because we all thought Kevin Owens was going to win, take the title to SmackDown, and goodbye to Jericho on this last run. But I think it's great that Jericho won, except for he should have won at Mania, in my opinion. Maybe not tonight. It is payback. Let the future of that division, the future of SmackDown, one of the big players that should be on SmackDown, that be Kevin Owens, which does lend a lot of helping hands to Vince McMahon falling out of love with Kevin Owens? That's a big question. Only time will tell. That match to me was incredible, Hugo. I'm going to give that match to start the show a great, great match. Your thoughts on that match before we go ahead and take some calls. I see you holding Toph. I see you holding 312. I see you holding 770. Get to your calls. You want to talk to the host, press the one button to speak to us. Hugo, Your thoughts on that match?
I thought it was a fantastic match. Obviously, we were shocked because we all believe still, and I still do believe that Chris Jericho will be taking a hiatus. I think the reason why they did it is because, obviously, they weren't going to let Kevin Owens go past on Chris Jericho, especially how hot Chris Jericho has been in the last few months with the WWE Universe. I think the right man went in. Tope did say it in one of the other chat earlier, and I'll let him talk about this in just a second, that he believes that now Kevin Owens will go to Raw, but I haven't heard that speculation about that. I know that trades could still be done because it wasn't a draft. It was a superstar shakeup, so I'm sure that they could go ahead and be like, all right, well, I'm going to send you back to Raw, and then Chris Jericho stays over on SmackDown. But what doesn't make sense is that, obviously, AJ Styles did win a number one contenders match for the United States title. So my belief is that Jericho will go on to SmackDown. He will. Something will happen. Shane McMahon or Dan O'Brien will make some sort of rubber match or whatever, and then kind of Kevin Owens takes back the title, and then Jericho goes on his merry way. I think that's what's going to be happening. But when it comes to the match itself, they have chemistry together. We've seen them when they were tag team partners. We saw them with the whole friendship, the best friends, and all of that. They were great together. They tell a really good ring story. We were there live at WrestleMania. We thought it was a fantastic match, and this match at Payback also paid off as well because they both understand each other so well. I'm actually going to give this match, if I could just rate this match, a 5 out of 5, Chris Jericho World Heavyweight Championship runs, because they were just very entertaining. They were fun. And I just thought that this match was absolutely fantastic.
I thought it was a good way to kick off the show, like Ron just said, kicking off with them. Jeff said, you know, it was a great way to set the tone for the entire pay-per-view. But I've seen better from the two of them. But it does, you know, make, you know, the thing that, you know, things that we could go, is the WWE getting rid of rematch clauses? Because what you just said was AJ Styles is next up the list. Does that erase Kevin Owens getting his rematch clause for his title? We have seen now several times where the former champion has not gotten their rematch. Let's wait to see what happens with that. Let's bring in Toph here. Toph, I like to call him the Mike Tenay of Perfect Plex Talk Radio. Great wrestling mind. We don't always think alike, but I always respect what he has to say. I know he was very critical, like the rest of the internet, on the House of Horrors match. But Toph, welcome to Perfect Plex Talk Radio. Your thoughts of this Payback pay-per-view? We're loving it right now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, man, you might be onto something there. One thing that you mentioned about the rematch thing is, so far, not a single person that's held the Universal title has got a rematch clause at all. So they've kind of abandoned that. I remember when Kevin Owens, when he lost the Universal title, I think it was like on a Raw or something, there was like a segment with Mick Foley where Owens was like, well, I can get my rematch later. Right now, I just want Jericho. The next thing you know, he's on SmackDown. So
right.
I know on Lucha Underground, what they do is whoever the Lucha Underground champion is, there's no rematch when that person loses it either. So maybe they're trying something new. I'm not really sure what's going on there. I'm not really complaining about it.
Is that so bad,
though?
Thought, if that's so bad, Toph, if they do start something new like a page Lucha Underground?
That's not bad. It's different. I've always said for years, rematch clauses are only used when it's convenient to the story they're trying to tell.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all. They had a good match. I think Roman and Braun, they have good chemistry. They haven't had a bad match yet. They had a good match. I think Rollins
was tremendous, by the way. That was the best spear I've seen since Edge. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that spear
was
amazing.
That was a good spear. They have good chemistry there. I feel sorry for Rollins and Joe, mainly because they had to go after that House of Horrors flop. The fans just were kind of out of it. They kind of woke up towards the end. Pretty much everything on this show was good except that House of Horrors. I'm feeling really sorry for Bray. We're seeing a pattern here. Every single time this dude gets a high-profile, well-advertised match, he underperforms. And booking is a problem that, you know, affects that. But booking has nothing to do with just the overall performance. And it might be time to consider that maybe Bray's just not as good as we think he is.
I think WWE doesn't believe in him. I do. Come on, let's be real, Toph. Is it that he's not that good, or for whatever reason, the company – say, I think the company's afraid to push the envelope with what they started, which to me is stupid. You know what I mean?
Think
like,
there's this magic he had with Daniel Bryan,
right.
The magic he had. I feel like they have not properly replicated that magic with anybody else.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. And I said this on a tweet, and of course you spoke on it and other guys. And shout out to my man Darius from WrestleMania. We met him down, Hugo, who's sitting next to us at WrestleMania. He's checking in from South Carolina. And I said, when Taker did these kind of matches, no one complained about them. But he pointed out some things when I said that said, well, you know, when Taker did it, it felt more realistic. This felt like a movie. And if you look at what they've done with Bray, even with Randy and the house burning, some people loved it. Well, most people loved it. Some people didn't love it. That was kind of set the same way as this match. I think when it comes to Bray Wyatt, they're making him so gimmicky that us crackhead wrestling fans, you know, we're all hyped to wrestling, you know, don't take to it. But I don't think that it's bad. I just don't. I just
well,
they
I
need
understand
to
where you're
out.
Coming from. You said your daughter enjoyed it, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, that's cool. I mean, I can see how a kid can enjoy it, but I'll be honest with you, man. Like, it went over like a fart in church. There's videos
wow.
all over Twitter of people that were live in the attendance in the arena posting videos. WWE had to actually mute the crowd for the whole match. They were booing. What really hurts the match, and perhaps I'm just nitpicking, like, okay, on a kayfabe standpoint, this is Bray's match. This is supposed
right.
to be, like, his specialty. So
exactly.
you mean to tell me that he can't win his own match clean? He needs to get help? That really hurts the character. Like in TNA, Abyss does Monster's Ball. That's his match. That's his specialty. Imagine if Abyss kept beating people because somebody helped him. You're not going
right.
to take the Monster Abyss seriously. That hurts Bray. When Jinder showed up, the fans didn't react at all. And when Bray got the pin and when he beat him, again, the fans didn't react. This
yeah,
was just bad. It was bad.
Well, okay, let me ask you this question, Chubb. So do you think, because some of the points that you put on there, it makes me think, was this superstar shakeup a smart thing to do?
Not all the way.
So early, so early after WrestleMania was over, when you had a pay-per-view that was branded as a Raw pay-per-view, and did the wrong men go into the wrong respective brands? Because that's where I'm getting to it now. See, the thing is that, here's my point of why I'm getting with this. This match was going to happen regardless, and it was supposed
right.
to happen at Backlash. It was supposed to happen for the WWE Championship.
Right.
Then, obviously, the WWE had to go around, shake things up, and just completely screw with our minds.
Let's be real, Hugo, let's be
real. Really quick, though, Mike.
No, but this is not WWE altogether. This is 100% Bray Wyatt to Raw, a move by Vince. And this is where, as much as, you know, I'm a guy who says, and I took a lot of flack for this, don't thank Paul Heyman for coming back. Thank Vince McMahon for bringing Paul Heyman back. Vince McMahon is out of touch. And it really pains
right.
me. To me, Vince McMahon is wrestling. But to do this to Bray Wyatt, to move him to Raw, was just a really bad move. I don't mind the shakeup because I think it was needed. I think it was really, really needed for some guys. I think Bray and Miz were the biggest misses in this shakeup, in my opinion. Miz should have stayed and Bray should have stayed.
Okay. I mean, I can't argue
now,
with that. I agree with you 100%.
Now, let me ask you this. Moving on to the tag team championship. We lost Toph there. Toph, give us a call back. Moving back to the tag team match, I said this before, and I've always taken a bunch of flack for this. I'm a huge Sheamus fan. I don't care. Cesaro has grown on me. Clearly, the WWE only sees him as a tag team wrestler. That was a great match, a hard-hitting match. Both Hardy boys got their arses handed to them in that match. One lost a tooth in Jeff Hardy. Matt got a mouth cut in his mouth during that match as well. But the beatdown after the match, this to me, again, pay-per-views are supposed to be about the matches, but the stories have to go with the matches, hence hashtag wrestling a storyline. That was a great ending to that tag team match. And all rumors have it now pointing towards they beat him up. Does this open the door for the broken character, Hugo?
If that would have been the case, because I honestly do believe it's coming. It's obviously coming. I mean, you already have Matt Hardy he's clenching on his teeth for him to be able to bring out. And you could just tell by the way he acts that like he just wants it to happen already. I think then that Cesaro and Sheamus should have gone over. I thought they should have gone over.
I agree. We said that on the pre-show on Friday that we thought they would win the match for that very reason.
I would think, however, I mean, if this is going to lead up to the Broken Hardy gimmick to come out, then I'm okay with them retaining. I was not okay, though, if they're going to continue on with the whole Hardy Boys thing. But I am so happy, though, that Sheamus and Cesaro don't have to act like a bunch of goody-goods, because realistically, Sheamus is not
That's
a goody
That's not them.
Good.
Right.
It's not him. But I hope that you're getting into something, Mike. They definitely need to bring out the broken characters. It just has to happen. I just wish that it would have been with Cesaro and Sheamus as a tag champions, though.
I'm still going to go and say there's no money in Brother Nero. There's no money in I think the WWE, because when I say WWE, we know there's Vince, but then there's Triple H, there's Stephanie, there's a lot of people in charge, but Vince has the final say. I think Vince, I don't want them to sell the company, but I want, if he does sell it, give it to the son, give it to the daughter and the brother and the son-in-law, because I think Triple H.
I don't think he'll sell. We know that rumor was out there. Because remember,
but there's no money in Broken
realistically,
Nero or Brother Nero.
I was going to tell you really quick when you're talking about Vince McMahon, him selling. I mean, realistically, it started up as a family business. So I don't think he's going to sell his family business. That's now a global phenomenon. That's just not going to happen. But what I was going to tell you is I was actually here with my buddy Gerald. We were watching a pay-per-view together. And I was telling him that Matt Hardy is the only thing that would work. I don't think Brother Nero would. So Jeff Hardy could actually eventually shift and do his own thing. Because realistically, if you really think about it, out of the both of them, who has been the bigger star throughout their career? It has been Jeff. Jeff has been a former world champion. He's been on the ring with Triple H, with Edge, main eventing SummerSlam, main eventing the Royal Rumble, all this other stuff. Same thing could also, if Bully Ray would have stayed in the WWE as himself, Bully Ray, the character, would have worked out perfectly. Because I
agree
think that you'd be able to do something with D-Von if he would have stayed. So same thing with Matt Hardy. If they're going to bring the characters, eventually you're going to have to split them up somehow. But I agree with you. I don't think Brother Nero and the WWE would work. But this this broken Matt Hardy would.
That's what I'm afraid of, right? And remember I said, and I'm not afraid to say, admit that I was wrong. Okay, I never said that I didn't think the broken character could work. But do you think the WWE have the balls, the inner testicular fortitude, just for everybody out there on Facebook Live listening as well as Twitter, do you think they have the balls to split the Hardy Boys up? Because you just said it perfectly there. Bully Ray should have been in the WWE, but they were afraid of the nostalgia of the Hardy Boys growing up.
The Dudley.
Can they break up? Because Jeff has to say Jeff. Jeff has always been over in the WWE because of his suicidal things that he's the former world champion, for heaven's sakes. You know what I mean? But
they could get away with it.
You think they can? I want to see it. And let's find out about that as well. Let's now, going back through the matches, I always call him Aaron Neville. Okay, Neville versus Austin Aries. What a effing good match. And listen, guys, I know people wasn't happy with the finish. I'm a Neville guy. My man Garrett, we were chatting during the program. He said he doesn't like the way the belts have been hot sided the way Jericho won. I'm glad that Austin Aries didn't win the title and Neville won that way. Real Kings does do anything necessary to win the match. I got Malcolm X on that wall. You can't see him. I got Dr. Martin Luther King on this wall. You can't see him. And I got Muhammad Ali in his boxing gloves on that side. You can't see him. And I got my mama right here above me. You can see. Okay? Listen, by any means necessary, Neville, you do what you got to do. It was like the boxing match last night. It was a premature stoppage and a disqualification in that match. Still a great match, Hugo. I love that match. Your thoughts on that match real quick.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I'm excited to see what the end result is going to be. Obviously, it's going to continue on with A-Double and Neville eventually still to feud with one another. I don't think it's just going to end in a disqualification. It'll be stupid if the feud just ends there. Eventually, you know that the end product should be a double going over. But just how good Neville is in that cruiserweight division, I don't mind them prolonging it. Kind of like how what they did with Sasha Banks to finally win the women's title. It could be done the same exact way for A Double. But A Double eventually should become the cruiserweight champion because he is a big star. In TNA, he was, he was big. He was actually
one, I disagree.
He's one of my favorite wrestlers in TNA.
Yeah, he's mine too, and I'm a fan of Austin Aries, but I won't say big star. And here's my reason why I say not big star. I said it before. I can catch flack for it. I don't care. I got enough balls and a thick enough skin to handle what anybody has to say. Nikki Bella's elbow over his. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't like any move that two wrestlers use, especially when one's a female and one's a guy. Okay? He needs a different move than the elbow with the pad off. That's what Nikki Bella was doing. Sorry. I don't like it. Give me a different move from Neville before I say anything else from that. Moving on. We talked about the Divas match. I'm sorry. They were Divas for what? Almost 15 years, okay? So I like the Divas match. We spoke about that. I was slightly, still a good match, disappointed in Seth. And I don't think they work well together. Is that me? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I didn't like the match between Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe. It was them. They're good. But I didn't think they meshed well together.
You know what I think it was? It was also the fact that they came on during the House of Horrors match. I think they were put in the wrong positioning because this was actually one of the matches that I was definitely excited for, especially since I'm a huge fan of Seth Rollins and I'm a huge fan of Samoa Joe. I just think that the positioning of it was wrong. And the crowd, kind of like what Tom was saying earlier, where the crowd was – obviously taken by this House of Horrors match. They weren't really into the match until Seth Rollins did win. And obviously you're going to get a reaction if Seth Rollins wins because Seth Rollins is a fan favorite now. And you can just tell all over. When we're at WrestleMania, Mike, you remember when he beat Triple H, the whole stadium went haywire. It was the same thing here in this pay-per-view. But I just think the reason why they didn't mesh well is because they were in the middle of that House of Horrors match. I honestly do believe that they should have been in between, before the House of Horrors match, to try to lead into having some sort of interest for this House of Horrors match, because we all knew what was going to happen with this House of Horrors match, especially
Minister Williams said that Joe is a poor performer. I can't give you a thumbs up for that. I disagree. I'm not the biggest Joe fan. You know, I'm not going to – I can be honest. You know, it's wrestling. We have who we like and who we don't like. I'm not saying I don't like Samoa Joe, but to call him a bad performer is – he's the heavyweight
set. Here's where I disagree. I mean, you've seen what Samoa Joe has done before, especially in his TNA days when he had fantastic matches with Kurt Angle, with Christian, with Abyss, with a bunch of all these other wrestlers. And I think Seth Rollins is a great opponent. However, kind of, you remember how we always have this discussion on Perfect Place Talk Radio, who should be coming up and who should be coming up? Maybe Samoa Joe is just an NXT guy. So, but I'm excited to have Joe on Raw. Hopefully he'll be predominant. And hopefully he will do something. I think the WWE is going to give him the ball to be able to run and just hurt people, like he says. And I really like to see that because that's his gimmick. It's been his gimmick since his TNA days. Maybe it's just not perceived well, by the WWE audience, because the WWE audience is different than the TNA and the NXT audience.
When I look at Joe and mentioning and what you're talking about, I look at – The reason why I was not the big Zack Ryder fan, I always said, what's next? Once he's done finishing the program with Seth Rollins, what's next for him? Because right now, I got to be honest, and I fought it, and again, when I'm wrong, I'll admit it. SmackDown is better because it's booked better, which is so stupid. It's the same damn company, right? But you look at Raw, I know I always say faces and heel don't exist anymore, but they're trying to make them exist, but they're non-existent on Raw. You don't know who's – like, just weeks back, we all thought that Roman was going to be a full heel, the way he had the match with Taker, the leading up to Taker's match, everything. And now with Samoa Joe, What's after Seth Rollins? Who is he going to battle? There's no one in place right now unless it's going to be Finn Balor, which we see that program looks like it's going to be him versus The Miz. Let's go ahead and finish up with this in this pre-post show. Check us out tomorrow, guys, on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM as the Soul in Sports brings to you the best and worst of the weekend, including more about the preview looking into Monday Night Raw. But I got to go back to the guy that stole the show, the guy who has stolen the hearts of wrestling fans, Braun Strowman.
Ooh, Jinder Mahal?
Not Tinder Gender. Braun Strowman right now is on a warpath. He is unstoppable. Does this bring out Brock Lesnar tomorrow? Does he call out Brock Lesnar tomorrow? He's done it all. Right. Remember, I told you wins and losses don't matter. It's when you win a match. He won the match that he had to win. I don't think we see Roman anytime soon. So the question is, what's next for Braun?
I think the next thing, obviously, is going to be Brock Lesnar. That is the next big step for Braun Strowman. However, I don't think you're going to see Brock Lesnar there tomorrow, because between tonight and their next pay per view, it's roughly about, what is it? I think a month and a half, because I think it's June.
About a month and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's too premature for him to go and say, I destroyed Bob. Roman Reigns, I want Brock Lesnar. No, you let him continue hurting people, then eventually you'll lead up to him calling out, well, I'm tired of destroying all this competition. Who's next? And then Brock Lesnar comes out, and then we start seeing the feud between Brock and Braun Strowman. I think that's what's going to happen. I just don't think you do it so prematurely. After being tomorrow, I would say wait 2 or 3 weeks, and then you start going
in that direction
because there's still a lot of time left.
The European tour is coming up soon. And to answer your question, Jeff, he says, get the belt off of Brock. So corny not having it on the flagship show. I'm going to say this much, guys, for those who hate part-timers. Your champion should not be displayed every week, in my opinion. It should be a main event. It should be in a special attraction. And just the way UFC does it, the way boxing does it, the way other, you know, quote-unquote combat sports have it. Brock Lesnar, I don't need to see my champion every week because Brock is must-see television. So, to me, it's good that he's been off TV. I beat Goldberg, who I couldn't beat. You know what I mean? So, to have Brock off of TV until he has an opponent, I personally am a fan of it and am in favor of it. Toph is back on the program. Sorry, Toph, we lost you there during the program. I'm going to finish up with this. And actually, your question as well, what's next for Braun Strowman? Because to me, I see nothing but the silly. When we talk about the brass ring, he turned that some bitch to the ruby slippers. And there's no place like home when it comes to Braun Strowman right now. I think he's going to beat Brock Lesnar when and if that match ever happens, Paul.
Well, it definitely seems to be the direction. You know, this might piss off some fans. I said this at the Post-Mania Raw. You know, I love Post-Mania Raw crowds. You guys are energetic and stuff, but this is going to be an unpopular opinion. But when Lesnar was in the ring and the fans were chanting, "We want Balor," I was like, really?
Right.
Lesnar will eat Balor alive. I'm sorry. Lesnar, Strowman is going to do way more numbers.
He has bigger dumps than Finn Balor.
Not just that. Strowman, Lesnar is going to do way more numbers, way more, well, not pay-per-view buys, but it's going to do more WWE Network downloads. More people are going to show up to see Lesnar Strowman than Lesnar Balor. So, there's really nothing else to do. To answer your question earlier about Joe, the Joe that we see is the same Joe that we saw in TNA Ring of Honor. The only real complaint I have about Joe so far, I don't like him being kind of like, he's not necessarily a crony, but he's kind of like a hitman to Triple H, sort of. Like,
yeah.
I don't like that. Because the Joe that I remember from TNA, like, in, like, 2005, 2006, that Joe was, like, kind of like what Baron Corbin is right now. He was, like, this sort of tweener, neutral character that didn't really care about anybody. He just kind of went out and killed people. He didn't really follow orders. I'm not feeling him being, like, he's kind of, like, not part of the authority, but he kind of is. I don't like that. Joe should just do his own thing. I don't like that. That's my real only complaint.
So do you think Joe? So do you think Joe should eventually? Because I mean, we haven't seen Triple H anyway since WrestleMania. We haven't seen Stephanie McMahon since WrestleMania. So do you think that maybe you start turning Joe face so he could have a potential match against Triple H?
You could do that, I guess. I don't think he needs it, but if I'm Joe, I mean, that's a payday, so I can't turn that down. So, yeah, I would probably have Joe choke him out or something. You know, it's Joe.
Okay.
Well, let's go ahead and finish it like this, guys. It is getting late. We have a show tomorrow. We have work tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, tuning in. Perfect Flex Talk Radio tomorrow between 5 and 7, 96.9 FM Fox Sports. Also, simulcast right here on the BDSR Radio Network. So we're going 9 years strong, guys. Before COD Podcast became the hit thing to do, we've been here from day one. And I'm not Funaki, but I am your number one announcer. I will give this pay-per-view, I'm going to up it like you did, Hugo. I'm going to give it 4.5. Jericho beating Stone Cold, beating The Rock in the same night, Undisputed Championships. I thought for a pay-per-view that we were all kind of worried about, and I will take a page out of Mike Grant, Grandbody P, from the Smack Talk Center, who says, every time we think we're getting a B pay-per-view, it becomes an A pay-per-view. Tonight's pay-per-view was tremendous. I loved it from start to finish, including the House of Horrors match. I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but it's whatever. It's whatever. I didn't go to the bathroom not one time tonight, but I have to get up and go to the bathroom because I was drinking shots with my wife as we were celebrating our new house here down here in Florida. 4.5 Undisputed Jericho Championships. And I give this pay-per-view out of 5. Hugo, your rating.
Yeah, I'm also going to go ahead and give it 4 out of 5. But Chris Jericho, World Heavyweight Championship title runs when he was feuding with Batista, because I thought it was fun. I know it was short. It was fun. It was straight to the point. Sucks that he lost to John Cena, but I was always entertained with that Chris Jericho when he came out with the suit and tie. I'm going to go with 4.5 out of 5 World Heavyweight title, Chris Jericho title runs.
Talk, your bro, Gary?
Yeah, man, I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5 Undisputed World Championship reigns when he came back in 2002. He came back the conquering babyface. He was over, got the Mania match. Unfortunately, it was a good reign, but that reign will always have an abstract next to it because, you know, the main focus was Rock Hogan, not him. But it was still a good reign. And so this show was good, but that House of Horrors is going to be forever an abstract on this show. So, one last positive thing, man. What's lost in the shuffle? A heel Cesaro. That's cool.
Oh, I love it. To have a heel Cesaro. We talked about that earlier also. I don't think it was missed in the night. I loved it, personally. It was great that it was him that came back and initiated the beatdown in the Hardys. You know what I mean? And we all had to see it coming with the handshake after handshake after handshake. Like, come on. And I love the fact, again, little things that I pay attention to when I'm watching wrestling. The whole time they're shaking hands and raising their hands, you see how the Hardys look like, okay, thanks. We got you. But when is this ass whooping coming? You know what I mean? And they got it when they didn't expect it. I thought it was funny that Matt dropped the belt. And then my son said, did he do that on purpose? I said, I don't think so. And my daughter, I love her to death. She tries, you know, she watches wrestling. She was scared during the match. She said, I don't like the dolls that were out there. I thought the dolls also gave the House of Horrors match something special. But he took his limo and said, all right, take me to the arena. Like, where the hell and where were they at in some part of California? I forget.
San Jose, California.
San Jose.
It was San Jose, California.
But now
his house. Still. So how
he has a house in San Jose now? Like, come on. Give me a break. But that's where you have to erase the disbelief that wrestling is entertainment, people. Listen, guys, thank you guys for tuning in. What a great show. What a great post show we're having. Everybody tuned in on Facebook, I appreciate the love. Listen, check us out again, like I said, tomorrow at Soul and Sports brings to you Soul and Sports Radio, brought to you by Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, guys, we're gonna get up out of here. No outro music. What a great show. We see you tomorrow, y'all. Peace.